dreams defeating, thoughts misleading, the future seems so grim, and now your ray of hope is growing dim. Broken promises, no second chances, the weight is much too great. Don't waste a moment, please don't hesitate to take trouble to the one who can turn the tide around. No other refuge can be found. Only God can heal the pain and hurt you feel. Only God can heal the wounds that tear you apart. Only God can heal. There is no better place where you can go. Don't you know that only God can heal? Hearts unready, steps unsteady. You want to take it slow. Somehow you feel that you just can't let go of past emotions, lasting notions. You say you can't be free, but there's a way to change your destiny. Take your trouble to the one who can turn the tide around. No other refuge can be found. Only God can heal the pain and hurt you feel. Only God can heal the wounds that tear you apart. Only God can heal. There is no better place where you can go. Don't you know that only God can heal?
Thank you, Danielle. Turning your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 35. Genesis, chapter 35. Several people last Sunday morning, as they were leaving the service, said, "Pastor, you are preaching directly to me today." And that, to me, is an indication that the Spirit of God was carrying the message uniquely to every heart as He alone can. Sometimes I prepare a message that my own heart needs. And it's an amazing thing thinking that I've prepared a message for me, how it applies to so many other people. And that's the wonder of the Lord. We all may read a passage of Scripture, and although there is only one given interpretation, there are many applications, and each one of us may apply that in a different way. God is a wonderful and a multifaceted God, is He not? And I want you to know how thrilled I am that you're in the house of the Lord today. And I believe that there's somebody here that needs to hear the message. And there's somebody here that needs to hear that you can come home. Genesis chapter 35 and verse number 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bakuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram, and blessed him, and God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look into the Word of God today, that we might have it applied by Thy Spirit to every heart. And Lord, You are a sovereign God. You know everything about us. You know where we are in our hearts today. And Lord, as wonderful as You are, would You carry this one message to meet many needs? Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that is not certain that heaven is their home, that today would be the day of salvation for them. And this we pray and ask in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. It seems like we live in a day where there's been a great breakdown in the family. There are many people that have been offended by family, and when they leave their homes, they feel that they are leaving forever, never to return. And yet, how often do those same people yearn to go to a time and a place in their life that they remembered as being joyous, and to go back to a people in their life that they remembered as being loving? And yet they find no place to return. On the other hand, spiritually, I think there are times in our lives that we can look to that, like Jacob, we met with God. Approximately 30 years prior to this passage of Scripture, Jacob, while fleeing from his brother Esau, lay down to sleep. And he laid his head upon a stone, and a deep sleep came upon him, and there God revealed himself to Jacob. Sometimes the children in Sunday school sing that song, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder." And it was there that the Lord communed with Jacob, revealed himself to him, and Jacob made vows unto the Lord. And because God met him there, he believed that surely that must be the gateway to God or the dwelling place of God. And he named the place thereof Bethel, meaning Beth, meaning house, El God, or the house of God. There God dwelt. And now, some 30 years later, as we fast forward in the life of Jacob, we find in verse 1, God coming to speak to Jacob once again, desiring to meet with him again, and says, "Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there." And today, the good news is this. For wherever you may be in your life, you do not have to stay where you are. Whatever you may be doing in your life, you don't have to remain doing it. Today I submit to you that you can come home. You can come home to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Jacob, who at this particular moment in time was outside of keeping with the purpose and plan of God for his life. For many years he had dwelt in Shechem and parts round about 30 miles from Bethel. And though Jacob had built an altar to his God, it was not pleasing unto the Lord his God. For God desired for Jacob to dwell with him in Bethel, the house of God. And I want to tell you something, that home is where God is. Sometimes we say, home is where the heart is. We have all kinds of trite sayings. But God was calling Jacob home to the house of God and was saying, you will find yourself at rest at home where God is. And I want to say that today there are many conceptions about the house of God. There are many people that come into a church and they call the building the house of God. By no means is this building made of brick and mortar and wood and concrete and rebar considered the house of God. It houses the family of God or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is not the dwelling place of God. The dwelling place of God today is in the hearts of His people, in the hearts of His children. And certainly we know that the Lord has an eternal dwelling place in the heavens, and He yearns to spend forever with you and I in the heavenlies. But today I want you to know that where God is, the center of God's will for your life, is the place that you will find to be home. It's possible to live in a house and not have that house be a home. It's possible for you to have roots in a geographical area and go back, and like many people do, they move away from home and they wonder, can it ever be the same? Can I ever go back? And they go back only to discover that things have changed. They closed down the Kmart and built a Super Walmart. That they closed up the Dairy Queen and opened a Starbucks. They find that the Toggery isn't open anymore. There's a Sears store. And all the places that you used to find comfort in going to because it seemed like it would forever be the same have changed. And although it's warming to be in a familiar place, it's just different. I want to tell you that If home is where God is, you can rest confidently in knowing that what God said is true. And in Malachi chapter 3, He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And as wonderful as it was, it can be again. No matter where you are, you can come home. You don't have to worry about it. There at Bethel, when the Lord first revealed Himself to Jacob, Jacob built an altar and he made vows unto the Lord. But you know what? He got away from the Lord. And he did not fulfill the vows that he had made unto the Lord. And he had a reunion of sorts with his brother, and he dwelt for a time outside of the purpose and plan of God for his life. Now, I'm not going to ask for a showing of hands today, but I feel pretty confidently if I were to ask, how many of you have ever gone to a Christian youth camp and made some commitment to the Lord and had an experience with God, and it was as if you met the Lord there? There are many that would say, I met the Lord and had an experience with God at camp. If I asked others, how many of you went to a vacation Bible school and you sensed the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in a worker in a vacation Bible school, and you responded to the appeal of love of the Lord, and there you had an experience with the Lord, and you came to faith in Him and God revealed Himself to you? Many of you would say, I remember at vacation Bible school seeing the Lord and experiencing a wonderful Savior. Still others would talk about a tent meeting or a camp meeting. And some others would talk about a Sunday school and a Sunday school teacher, where in the lessons and in the heart of that person that was ministering to them, they somehow came to see a revelation of the Lord God, and they had an experience with the Lord. But now they seem so far removed from that moment in time, so far removed from that place in time, so far away from the experience, so far away from the closeness and the nearness, and so far away from the tenderness and the innocence that you experienced before your God in those moments. And you find yourself in a place that is foreign and dark and foreboding. And there's a yearning in your heart like that was in the heart of the prodigal son who sat in the pig pen of life, just wondering, could I go home? And if I went home, would I be received? Is there a place there for me? And if there's a place, would I be a servant? And he said, that's what I'll do. I'll go home and I'll tell my father that I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but just let me come and be a servant, because even the servants in my father's house are being treated better than the world is treating me now. And maybe you find yourself, so to speak, in the pig pen of life, spiritually and emotionally, and wondering, is there any place in the world that I can go to call home, to find comfort and peace and joy and rest in my heart, that I may see a revelation of God? Maybe there was a time when you saw the Lord and you made vows to the Lord and you prayed to the Lord and there was a tenderness there. And now it's gone and you've not fulfilled the vow and there's a sense of remorse and regret there. The good news today is, don't stay where you are, because you can come home today. The Father stands looking down the way, longing for you, like the prodigal, to come home. And he came to Jacob. Jacob means deceiver. And there were several times in the life of Jacob where we see that that name held true. And yet, despite the fact that he at times lived out dishonesty, the Lord said, I love you. I have a purpose and a plan for you. And I want us to see, when we decide that we're no longer going to stay where we are, and we determine to go home, I want us to first remember The Bible said in verse 1, God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. In verse 3, Jacob said, let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. I want you to notice that Jacob remembered where he met God. He remembered how he met the Lord. Do you remember? The day when you understood that you were a sinner and that the sin in your life had separated you from a holy God. And you discovered that that holy God required perfection of you. But that was something you could never produce for yourself. And so because you could never save yourself, a wonderful, loving, perfect Savior came and died the death of the cross to satisfy all righteousness for you, that heaven may be opened to you so that you could come home to Him. Do you remember when that was? Do you remember the place that it was? Do you remember the joy that came to your heart? Do you remember the time of innocency and growing in the Lord before your heart became clouded with looking at the flaws and faults of those that are numbered amongst the Christian rank? Do you remember how it was before you became jaded in your thinking about others and consequently the work of God and then the Word of God? Do you remember? You remember. Remember how sweet it was. Not only must we remember from whence we have fallen, as the Lord said to the church in Sardis in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 2, remember from whence thou art fallen and return. He said to Jacob, you remember where you met me? Do you remember where I appeared to you? And when Jacob spoke to his servants and his kinsmen, he said, I remember that's where the Lord met me in the day of my distress. When I was in trouble, that's where the Lord met me. I remember that. Not only should we remember, but I want to tell you something else, and that is that God will remember you. Though Jacob was outside of the will of God at this moment in his life, dwelling in Shechem and not exactly in the place of God's appointment, and had been there for several years, God remembered him. And I want you to take heart in knowing today that God knows where you are. He knows from whence you've fallen. He knows what's in your heart. And at the appointed time in your life, God will come and will speak to you. And perhaps it'll be in a service just like this. Perhaps it'll be from a passage just like this. Perhaps it'll be on a Sunday just like this. And you may not hear an audible voice, but just the same, God will come to you and say, do you remember the day of your distress? Do you remember when you sat down with fatigue from running and I was there? Do you remember that place? The Lord will remember you. You say, I've taken the Lord as my Savior and I know that I'm His son, but I've strayed away from God. Remembers. God will remember you. And if we would go home, sometime we need to remember the way home. And friend, I want you to know this. I think about where I come from, and there's some folks here today from Colorado. Denise back here has family in Cortez, Colorado. And I met them. I said, you know, I was born in the Johnson building on June 24th, 1963. in the same place as my daddy was born. And not a lot of people can say that. A generation ago, a lot of people said that, but not as many anymore. And I remember that. Now I think there's a sports bar in that place where I was born. And they're celebrating every day over the famous person that was born there. But you know what? I get in my car and I can point my car up I-17 northward, and it's almost like it knows the way home. You know, I drive across the reservation. I just know how to go. I mean, I don't have to think about it. I don't need a map. I practically don't have to watch. I could probably get there in my sleep. And as a matter of fact, I've probably done it a few times in my sleep. I just know the way home. Because you know why? I remember. And there's something that draws me home. As a child, I remember running through the woods and shooting everything that moved and hunting arrowheads and running through the bean fields and driving my granddad's pickup and going fishing and learned how to drive there in a dune buggy on the farm. And I remembered all those special times. There's something special about going back to a place you remember. But God will remember you. I want you to see, secondly, not only ought we to remember, but once we remember from whence we've fallen, we should return. Secondly, return. You don't have to stay where you are. God said to Jacob, a deceitful person, a person outside of the will of God. He says to us, who can be deceitful, some of us who maybe have spent too much time outside of the will of God for our lives, He says this, arise and go up to Bethel. I want you to go to my house because I want to spend some time with you there and dwell there. God wants to dwell with you. Did you know that? I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people that don't want to live with you. You know, there sometimes, you know, even the pets, as loyal as they can be, you know, I mean, they kind of get finicky about it. It's kind of like Phoebe every once in a while, you know. She'll be wandering around the house and she'll come up to me and she'll go like this. And I'll pick her up and first thing she wants me to do is put her down. I think she just wanted to know she could come to me if she needed to. But you know, the Lord wants you to dwell with Him. He says, I want you to come home. I want you to return. Don't stay there anymore. Don't stay in that place of fear. Don't stay in that place of anxiety. Don't stay in that place of uncertainty. You can come home now. Come home. Christian, today, you don't have to stay where you are. God loves you so much that He says, will you arise? Will you get up out of the mud, out of the pig pen of life? And will you come to my house, Bethel, the house of God? And will you dwell there? Will you stay there this time? Will you stay with me? You have to make a decision to return. Oh, you don't have to. No one is forced to dwell in Bethel because God loves you. But if you would dwell there, you would choose to do so. In going to Bethel, we find something unusual took place. For in verse number 2, we find Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And so here we find an admonition as we go home. What is it? And that is to release. Say, release. What does that mean, Pastor? It means to release your grasp on self-will and on the things of the world. Turn loose of it. Because so long as you hold on to those, they will anchor you where you are. You will never find your way back home. You will stay tied to where you are. You see, he asked them to give up the earrings. He asked them to give up the idols. All of these things were related to idolatry. And as you study the history of Israel, you will discover that they were absolutely enamored with the worship of other gods. And it was a temptation for their nation to go into the lands of other people. When they went into the land of the Canaanites, there they would be overtaken with this temptation to worship other gods. And prior even to that, we find that that was the case for the family of Abraham. They wanted to worship other gods. Now, I'm going to say that not many of us probably have a statue of Buddha that we bow down and worship in our house. Probably a lot of you don't have a statue of Mary in your yard that you bow down and pray to. I would say that most of you, in the sense of having icons erected, statues, if you would, that you pray to and worship, that's not the form of idolatry that is your idolatry of choice. But rather, an idol is anything and everything that supplants the love of God in your heart. And certainly, we have those kind of idols. It might be the idol of money. It could be the idol of success. It could be the idol of materialism. But whatever it is that supplants our love for God, the Bible teaches us is idolatry. And so long as you are grasping those things, it will anchor you to where you are. You will not find your way back to Bethel, the house of God. You will not dwell there. So long as you hold on to self-will. They in their self-will rejected God and chose to follow after the religion of other gods because it pleased them more. They liked the fact that they could be more morally so-called free to embrace those gods. It pleased them. They followed after their own desires. And so long as you hold on to self-will, and so long as you hold on to the idolatry of the world, you will never return to Bethel, the house of God. Though you can be saved, though you can go to heaven, you won't experience the joy and the peace from dwelling in Bethel. And I remind you, Bethel is not a place per se. It's where God is. It's where God is. Release your hold on the world and its things. Release your hold on self-will. And you can come home. Teenagers. There are a lot of teenagers over here. I've been to camp with a lot of you in the last couple of years, last few years. Some of you saw God revealed to you. He showed Himself to you in a personal and in a profound way. And just like Jacob, you made vows to the Lord, and life was grand. But you moved away from Bethel, away from God. He didn't go anywhere. And now you've been dwelling in Shechem. And somehow you think your way is going to be the more fulfilling road. Somehow you think your choice is going to be the pathway to joy and happiness. It didn't work for Jacob. It won't work for you either. It didn't work for the prodigal son very well. It won't work for you either. The good news is, you can come home. And so release the anchor. Let it go. And come home. When we come home, I want you to see this. The Bible says in verse number 6, "So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. El speaks of Elohim, God. El, God, God of the house of God. El Beth El, the God of the house of God. And when we return home, we must fourthly raise. What should we raise? We should raise high the person of Bethel. What is important is not the place, but the person. Today I want to tell you, if I go to Grandma's house, she lives in a nice house. But what's important to me is not Grandma's dwelling place, but who lives there. If Grandma wasn't there, it would just be a house. But because Grandma's there, man, it's a fun place to be. Do you know that? And I want to tell you, when you come to God, it's not just a location. It's not just a building. It is a person who loves you. And you must raise high El Beth El, the God of the house of God. And it's not just about me inviting you to come back to church on a homecoming Sunday. Say, come back to church. I'm inviting people everywhere within the sound of my voice to return to El Beth El, the God of the house of God. Because when you raise high the God of the house of God, I want to tell you, your heart's desire will be to dwell where God is. Raise high. And then raise a monument by which you will remember. There are certain things that the Lord has called us to remember. And in fact, the Lord directed Jacob to erect a monument. And we remember throughout the course of the history of Israel many times where they raised monuments, they erected, they built stones as an altar, as a monument. And the Lord said, there's going to come a day when your children are going to see this and say, what meaneth these stones? And you're going to be able to recount to them all of the wonders of your God, and it will help to build and establish their faith, because you will cause them to remember what has taken place. And today, I think that it would do us well, many of us who are being called home by a loving Heavenly Father who once knew what it was to walk in His presence, to experience His joy. You who are being called home, why don't you today determine you're going to raise a memorial to the goodness of your God, so that whenever you think about straying away, you can look to that and say, in the day of my distress, God met me here, and He never moved, He never changed, He loved me. And when I strayed away from Him, and when I dwelt in Shechem, and I chased after my brother, and when I did all of these things, God never waned or waxed in His love for me. He was always there. And now when I need Him the most, He's saying, would you arise and come home? Would you come home? Would you raise a memorial and remember that you can always come home? Would you remember that? And when you come home, lastly, look in verse number 10. God said, you know, I like that. God said. You know, what matters is not what men say, but what God said. Amen? God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, deceiver. Thy name shall not be called any more deceiver, but Israel shall be thy name. Israel meaning prince with God. Prince with God. Sometimes you see young people and old people wearing t-shirts. Ladies that wear one says, princess. Hail to the princess. But with God, you really are royalty. And He said, no longer are you going to be considered a deceiver, but from henceforth, a prince with me. You're royalty now. And He said, the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where He talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where He talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Lastly, when you come home, would you receive? Receive what? Receive His grace. You see, a deceiver doesn't deserve royal treatment. A wanderer doesn't deserve to have the inheritance of land and the promises given to fathers. But God said, I'm going to give you what you could never earn or deserve. Receive my love. Receive my acceptance. Some people think of their earthly family and they think, where I am in my life, if I tried to go home, they would never receive me back. They would never accept me as I am. God will always accept you. Because we are not made acceptable because of what we do, but because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary. If you notice in your bulletin today, there's a saying there, a quote. It says, God does not love you but because of what you do, but because of who He is. And that is true. He is love. Receive His promise. Can I say something to you today? There are two types of religion in the world. I know there are many denominations, there are many different schools of thought, but there are only two types of religion. One is grace, and the other is works. The works type says you got to do something in order to get to heaven. How many of you know people steeped in that type? We all do. And that is an achieving system. Do the best you can and maybe you can achieve heaven. On the other hand, we have grace, which is a receiving system that says, I'm going to give you what you could never earn because I love you. Your name is Jacob, but I got to tell you, no longer will you be referred to as Jacob, but from henceforth, you're going to be called a prince with me. And I want to tell you something, Jacob. 30 years ago, you met me face to face at Bethel, and you strayed away from me. But now, I remembered you, and you remembered me coming to you in the day of your distress. Arise, get thee to Bethel, and dwell with me there. And when he came, he didn't just come to a location, but he came to El Bethel, the God of the house of God. And I today submit to you that home for you is where God is. It's not a location, it's not an address, it's not a zip code. It's where God is, and He's calling you to be home with Him in Bethel. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to remain in the pig pen. You can remember where God met you, and you can go back to that time. You can go back to the sweetness and the innocency with your God and the comfort. You can return, and when you return, I want to tell you, God will do for you what He did for these people. He will cause all of the enemies to be muted while they return unto Him. And when you turn loose of that which anchors you to the place where you are, that idolatry and those things that are held on to because of self-will, you will find your way home. And when you get there, raise up the person of Bethel, El Bethel, the God of the house of God, and erect a monument in your heart and mind that will always anchor you to the place of the cross. I submit to you today that for you and I, the place that God revealed who He is more than any other place is the cross. The ground, they say, is level at the foot of the cross. And we can come to the Lord and He'll allow His mercy and His grace to be shed upon us. Sometimes we stray away from Calvary. And we move to Shechem. And we're pretty unhappy. The Lord will say, it's okay. You can come home now. I will receive you. I love you. That's a rare type of love in the world in which we live. But that's the type of love that God has for you. Perhaps there are some here today that are living in Shechem, and you know that you need to be back in Bethel. God is calling you to go back to Bethel so that you could commune with El Bethel, the God of the house of God, so that you can be home, because home is where God is. Stop wandering. Stop straying. Come home. Just come home. It is as if the Lord is calling out to you. Do you remember in your day of distress where I showed myself to you and you built an altar and you called it Bethel? I didn't go anywhere. Will you come home and dwell with me? The God of the house of God says, come home. Heavenly Father, today as we ponder this message, Lord, I pray that we would be comforted in knowing that we have a God that never changes. And that we would be comforted in knowing that there's never a time in our lives when we cannot go home. And so, Lord, I pray that we might lift high, raise El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Might we remember a time in our lives where you revealed yourself to us and that you desire to do again. And may we go home. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed just for a moment. I'm talking mainly to Christians.